This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Friends, Don't Let Friends Die Without Jesus.
Over the triple doorways of the Cathedral of Milan, you will find three inscriptions spanning the splendid arches. Over one is carved a beautiful wreath of roses, and underneath are the words, quote, all that pleases is but for a moment. Over the other door is a sculptured cross, and the words, quote, all that troubles us is but a moment. But underneath the great central entrance is the inscription, quote, that only is important, which is eternal. What's high on the list of your priorities in this life? What is uppermost and uttermost to you? Is it the cares of the world? Is it where you are today in terms of your trouble, your stresses, your anxieties? Or have you come to that place where, as the song says, that because the Spirit is in you, there is comfort, there is peace, there is joy, there is love, all of these things. The book of Job, which we referred to a couple of times ago, is about a man who has suffered great loss. He questions why innocent people suffer. He questions the meaning and purpose of life, and he gets lousy advice from his friends. That is a theological term, by the way, lousy advice. He draws on a number of conclusions about life and life after death. Let's springboard to our lesson this morning titled, Friends, Don't Let Friends Die Without Jesus, by looking into our text, Job chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Would you stand and read with me? Job chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Six facts that we can draw from his litany of things about humanity. Number one, we are born. We've got that in common. Number two, life is measured by a relatively few days. If you're 75, I'm not there yet. But if you are, 27,000 days, that's it. I know it says 22. 27,000 days, that's it. Keep counting. Three, we run through life. He goes on to say it's like a shadow. I mean, if you've ever been in Manhattan, in New York City, I mean, people are all over the place, running everywhere, and you wonder where they're going. Sometimes they don't even know. Everybody's in a rush. You get on the highways, get on Route 278 or Route 78, and you're doing what the speed limit is, and they're passing you like you're standing still. Where are they going so fast? Four, life is full of trouble. You don't have to live too long to know that. Five, life blooms and fades like a flower. You reach a certain point, and you wake up wondering, what's gonna hurt today? Six, we die, and death, as we know it, is fatal. Verse 12 says, we don't get a second chance at life. We only go this way once. Job 14, he asks the question, if a man dies, will he live again? This is the biggest question that people ask. This is the one that is a conundrum for so many people. People have absolutely some ideas about this. They think they know what it is they think they know. Everybody has a different opinion about life. But here's what Job ultimately says in Job 19, verses 25 and 26. I know. What a great word. K-N-O-W, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. 26, and though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For Job, the answer to the question, is there life after death, is yes. Is that the answer to your question about life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is life beyond the grave? Job says, I will live again to see God, my Redeemer. World religions and secular philosophy all deal with the question of life after death, and they answer it in different ways. Let me take you on a little tour. Everybody's got an answer to this question. Is there life after death? If you are an atheist, your answer is life stinks and then you die. Equals nothing. There's nothing. The agnostic will say, but I just don't know. I just don't know. In Judaism, there is an afterlife. If you believe in the one true God and live a moral and good life, you should make it. The Muslims say there is an afterlife. There is a six-part test determining if you go to heaven or hell. If you fail test 1 to 5, you go to hell. But if you pass number 6 alone, you go to heaven. Number 6 is death in a jihad. Hindus believe in reincarnation, traveling from one life form to another, working to escape the cycle of life and death, arriving at a place called nirvana. Not too many people have gotten there. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe if you work hard and measure up to the teachings of the faith, you will share in the afterlife. If not, you will be annihilated, which means you will be no more and you will know no more. Nothing. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed on a man once to die. That means no reincarnation, no annihilation, no illusions, which is what Christian scientists believe. It's life is an illusion, death is an illusion. It says, after this, there is judgment. The Bible speaks of only 2 possible outcomes in the afterlife. And the first is eternal life spent in hell or eternal life spent in heaven. Those are your choices. There is life after death. The question is, where's your destination going to be? God has gifted us with the power to choose. Very, very important power. To choose and make good choices or to choose and make bad choices. We remember the account in the book of Genesis about Adam and Eve. They made a bad choice. They ate of a forbidden fruit. Why? Because God doesn't like eating fruit? No, God said there's everything here for you. Everything. You can have it all. Just don't have that. Well, that was just too much temptation. Bad choice. We're all living with the consequences of that bad choice. As the rain comes, all of Noah's neighbors had a choice. Could come into the ark and be saved or stand outside and drown. What was their choice? They drowned. The crowd at Jesus' trial had a choice. They could choose to crucify Jesus or they could choose to crucify Barabbas. And they said, give us Barabbas. Jesus is a good man. Jesus is a holy man. Jesus never did anything wrong. All of Jesus' teachings are positive and uplifting. He tells us wonderful things. He's healed us. He's fed us. He's lifted us up. The other guy is a murderer, a seditionist, a revolutionary. We'll take him. It seems that humanity constantly makes bad choices. You do. I do. It's part of the human condition. The Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa and he presented the gospel to the king and asked, do you believe? And this is what Agrippa says in Acts 26:28. Almost thou hast persuaded me. In God's economy, there is no such thing as an almost Christian. You have to decide. You have to decide. It's a choice as to where you and I will spend eternity. I've made my choice. Choose to reject Jesus in this life. You've chosen eternal separation from him in the afterlife for eternity. Receive Christ in this life is to live with Christ in the afterlife in heaven. To reject Christ in this life is to be separated from him in an eternal hell. Polling statistics for decades now have shown that an overwhelming majority of people believe in hell. 60% is the latest number. Believe in hell. The interest and concern of the afterlife is on the mind of your friends and your family and your neighbors. The entertainment industry is making millions of dollars featuring things about the afterlife, the walking dead, the living dead, zombies, demon-related characters. For them, hell is real. They're making money off of it. While the secular world invests thousands to make millions, capitalizing on the fascination with hell, in the Christian community, hell has become the H word. There are very few pulpits in which you will hear a preaching about hell. The H word. A Christian author heard a preacher say something like this, "And know, my friends, if you do not believe these truths, there may be for you grave eschatological consequences." And the author asked him, "Did you mean that they would be in danger of hell?" "Well, yes." And the writer responded, "So why didn't you say so? How many people will be going to hell because they never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached from a church?" That's what it means to be faithful in your preaching, balanced in your preaching, to preach the truth in love. There is nothing wonderful about telling people about hell. It's a warning. And if I don't stand behind this sacred desk and warn people that that place exists, it's literal, it's physical, it's there, it is a consequence of a life who rejects Jesus Christ, I have not been faithful to the gospel. Am I happy about it? No. There are those who say, you know, we have to preach about love and love and love. Like I've often said, a giant Hershey kiss out in space floating out there. But there's more to God than just love. God is not just love. God is also a just God. God is a jealous God. God is a God of wrath. God is a God of judgment. God is a holy God. He cannot stand sin. When he looked down upon Jesus on that cross, he had to turn his back, not on his son, but on the sin that lay upon him, my sin and your sin. C.S. Lewis said this, "The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved." This is what you wanted. When people stand before God on the judgment, on great white throne judgment, when they stand before God, he's going to just roll the tape and say, "This is what you said every time someone told you about Jesus. You said, I don't want him. I can't stand him. I don't want to hear about him. Forget about it. Don't ever talk to me again. I'm not interested. I don't believe in hell." They're going to see that. And you know what? The Bible says they're going to stand before God without an excuse and said, "You are justified in what you say now." What does the Bible teach us and tell us about hell? Hell is torment. Hell is separation from God. Hell is fire. Hell is memories. Hell is loveless. And it's loneliness. Hell is not God's choice for our eternity. It's our own choice for eternity. His forwarding address for you and for me and the world is heaven. God would have us to go to be with him for eternity. He sent Jesus to express that love. I want to be with you for eternity. I want you to receive me. I'm not going to shove myself down your throat. I'm not going to force you to believe. This you must do by your own choice. You must come to me. My arms are wide open for you. I will accept you regardless of the quality of your life, regardless if you've spent your life rejecting me, even if in your last breath you would say, "I believe Jesus, I accept him. Lord Jesus, come into my heart." I've been at bedsides on a couple of occasions where that's happened. And I can look the family right into the eye and say, "Your mom, your grandma, your dad, your grandfather, your son, whomever, they asked Christ to come into their heart at the last moment." And people would say to me over the years, non-believers, "Well, you can't tell me that person lives like hell all their life, and then at the last minute, Jesus is going to forgive them." And I point them to the cross, where there was a sinner, a thief, and who knows whatever else he did. But at the last moments of his life, he received Christ as his Savior, and Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." It's never too late, until it's too late. Today, both places fall under the hammer of secular philosophers and liberal theologians. Oh yeah, They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. Listen to this Harvard Divinity School professor and theologian Gordon Kaufman. Quote, "I don't think there can be any future for heaven or hell. When he goes, they ought to put a pack of marshmallows in his coffin. He's going to be needing them down there to toast over the fires." What does the Bible tell us about heaven? 1 Kings 8:30, God lives there. Three heavens, right? The Bible speaks about three heavens. The first heaven is from the planet to our atmosphere. Everything up to the clouds, everything where a bird flies, everything where man can breathe. Second heaven is the solar system and the universe. The Bible says that's where the stars that are born, the stars that have died, that whole picture out there that Hubble is seeing, that's the second heaven. And the third heaven, the Bible says, is where God is. Three heavens, three levels. Hebrews 9, 12 and 24, it says that's where Christ lives. The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of God. Matthew 18, 10 tells us that's where angels are. And Hebrews 12, 22 and 23 says that's where people are who have received Christ as Savior. They're up there in spirit right now. But one day when the rapture comes, guess what, babe? We're going up bodily. Those who are alive are going to have to wait until those who are in the grave come up first. They're going to be connected to their spirit being, and they're going to be a completely new body, a glorified body like Christ had. And then we who are alive will be caught up in the air to be with him. Are you ready? It can happen any moment, any moment. No death, no sin, no corruption. But 14 months ago, I read an article in USA Today that the number one issue that concerned Americans is corruption in government. No weariness, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, no loneliness, no separation, no night, and no end. There's a wonderful world tomorrow waiting for those who put their faith in Christ and Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something else. When we get there, you could not bribe us to come back here. There is no way that we would ever want to come back to this planet. Now, the Lord's going to take us back with us. But we're going to want to stay in heaven. We're going to want to stay with what it is that God has for us for eternity. You're not going to get bored. Why don't you come to church? It's boring. Wait till you get to heaven. You are going to be on all pistons firing. It's going to be great. What's there? Joy, rest, peace, freedom, song, light, beauty, family, health, eternal bliss in God's presence, and eternity beyond your wildest expectations. That's heaven. Just think of this wonderful little prose. Think of stepping on shore and finding it's heaven. Think of taking hold of a hand and finding it's God's hand. Think of breathing new and sweet air and finding it's heavenly air. Think of feeling invigorated and finding it's immortality. No more pains, no more aches, no more arthritis, no more eyeglasses, no more wheelchairs, no more dementia, no more of any of that. Immortality, it's going to be a fresh breath of a new life. Think of passing from storm and tempest to an unbroken calm. And think of waking up and finding your home, heaven. Job asked the question, if a man die, will he live again? For the Christian, the answer should be a resounding yes. Should be no question in your mind. But what of those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior? What about your family, your neighbors, and your friends? What can you do to help them to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Two courses of action, which I've presented to you before and just felt the leading of the Holy Spirit to give you again. And the first action you can take is to ask them some questions. And here's the first question. If you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and there is no afterlife, no heaven or hell, what have you lost? Answer, nothing. People told me, I'm crazy to believe this. No one's ever been there. Well, I know somebody who's been there and came back, Jesus. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt there's a heaven. So suppose I'm wrong. What have I lost? I'm living a quality of life here on earth that's unsurpassed. I've got Christ in my heart. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is life and there is heaven and there is hell. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no question in my mind about it. If I say good night down here, I'm saying good morning up there. It's not an issue for me anymore. I've passed that long time ago. I'm ready. If you reject Jesus and there is a heaven and a hell, if you reject Jesus and there is a heaven and there is a hell, you've lost everything and eternity too. Doesn't seem like much of a gamble to me. If you believe him and it's not true, what have you lost? Nothing. If you don't believe him and it is true, you've lost everything. But for those of us who believe that Jesus is who he is and believe God's word and believe in heaven, what a way to live, amen? What a way to live. We look at death different. We look at life different. We look at the loss of a loved one who has received Christ different. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? When you ask somebody that, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? How do you think they'd answer you? And then you can follow it up with, well, how do you know? Well, 1 John 5:13 says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life." You can know it. You can know it. You can have that settled in your mind like a rock. Doesn't change with popular opinion. Doesn't change by virtue of the polls. Heaven is real. You believe it in your heart. You know it. And nothing can change that fact for you. Next question. If you were to stand before God right now, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, I've been a good person. That's not going to work. I go to church. That's not going to be it. Well, he wouldn't let me go to hell. He is a loving God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to gain entrance into heaven? You have to acknowledge that he is God's Son. You want to spend eternity with God in heaven? You just say, I believe in Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus is all he said he was, that he died on a cross. He's in the grave. He rose 3 days. He's alive, ascended into heaven, stands at the right hand of God. He is all he said he is. And I believe it. He's my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I've asked him to forgive me of my sin. I've asked him to come into my heart. I've asked him to help me repent. And I've asked him to step with me each and every day in my life that I might continue to be faithful to him. Action number 2. You can invite a family member or a friend to church next Sunday. That's something you can do right now. If the Lord's laid somebody on your heart that you know is lost, tell them Murphy's cooking. That should get them. Right? Have you been praying for someone to invite to Friends Day? How would you feel if that person became a follower of Jesus Christ next week? How would you feel if somebody said to you, sitting next to you, whom you've invited, you know, I'm really glad I came here today. I think I've heard from God's voice. I know I've heard from the Bible. It's something I would like to hear week after week. And they sit right next to you in the days ahead and the weeks ahead and the months ahead. And if they were to die after they received him, maybe you would feel like the Rogers family in our closing story. I know you've heard it before, but it touches my heart every time I read it. The Rogers, it's a true story. The Rogers are devout Christians who have built a strong family. The father has a special interest in the spiritual condition of each of his children, and often he would quiz them in order to know if they were sure of their salvation. Occasionally, he would ask them to share in their own words about their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's something you can also do with your friends. Just ask them what they believe about Jesus. And if they said, well, I already know Jesus. Ask them how they know. Tell me about it. One day, it was 7-year-old Jimmy's turn to express how he knew he had eternal life. And Jimmy told his version. Quote, I think it will be something like this in heaven. One day when we all get to heaven, it will be time for the big angel to read from the big book the names of the people who will be there. He will come to the Rogers family, say, Daddy Rogers, and Daddy will say, here. Then the angel will call out, Mommy Rogers, and Mommy will say, here. Then the angel will come down to call out Susie Rogers and Mavis Rogers, and they will both say, here. He paused, took a deep breath, and continued. And finally, that big angel will read my name, Jimmy Rogers. And because I'm little, and he may miss me, I'll jump and shout real loud, here, to make sure he knows I'm there. Just a few days later, there was a tragic accident. A car struck down little Jimmy as he made his way to catch the school bus. He was rushed by ambulance to the hospital, and all the family was summoned. He was in critical condition. The little family gathered around the bed in which little Jimmy now lay with no movement, no consciousness, no hope for recovery. The doctors had done all in their power. Jimmy would probably be gone by morning. The family prayed and waited. Late in the night, the little boy seemed to be stirring a bit. They all moved closer. They saw his lips move. Just one word was all he uttered before he passed from this life. But what a word of comfort and hope for a grieving family he was to leave behind. In the clear voice of a little boy, loud and clear enough so all could hear and understand, little Jimmy said one word, here! And then he was gone to another life beyond this world, where the angel was reading the names of all of those who were written there. Is your name there? Is your neighbor's name there? The friend whom God planted in your mind to invite? The family member? Is that person's name written there? Let's give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. Even though you didn't fill out a card, you bring somebody. You bring somebody. Give them a chance to hear the gospel. Give them a chance to be fed. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.